Skin. Caroline Shackleton and Nathan Paul Turner. Series editor, Bob Hastings. Chapter 1. Skin. The organ that's always on display. When we think of our body's organs, words like heart, brain, or stomach come to mind. However, there is one we often forget about, our skin. Skin is so important that it even forms part of our personal identity. Our skin's color, created by a chemical in the body called melanin, is one of the first things other people notice about us. The amount of melanin in our skin depends on our genes, though it can be increased through contact with sunlight. Skin is made up of three layers: the epidermis, the dermis, and the subcutis. The epidermis, the outer layer, includes dead skin cells that are constantly falling away and being replaced. It is a defensive layer that protects us from the sun, wind, and water. Below the epidermis lies the dermis. This layer has small organs called sweat glands. These help control our body's temperature by sending a water-rich liquid, sweat, up to the epidermis. When this sweat reaches the skin, it has a cooling effect on the body. In the dermis are also millions of tiny nerve endings. These let us feel and judge everything we come into contact with, from a breath of wind to the temperature of water. The nerve endings in the dermis are found at different depths and react to the movements of body hair, pressure, vibration, and temperature. These nerve endings let us react quickly to our environment and avoid objects that might hurt us. Our sense of touch is possibly the most noticeable of the skin's characteristics because the feelings of pleasure or pain it provides are so powerful. Below the dermis lies the subcutis. It is made up of many fat cells that help the body hold in heat. These cells also help soften the stresses placed on the body. This layer also contains the roots of our hair. Chapter 2. The First Line of Defense. The skin plays a key role in the fight to stay alive. Human skin can vary from as thick as 1.5 millimeters on the hands and feet to as thin as 0.05 millimeters around the eyes, which is why this is often the first place to show signs of aging. However, some animals, the rhinoceros, for example, have skin that can be 4 centimeters thick. Skin, however, is more than just physical armor. It can also camouflage an animal from hunters, predators, or prey. This effect makes it possible for an animal to almost disappear into the background. Perhaps the best example of the power of camouflage is the chameleon. This lizard is so good at changing its appearance that we use the word chameleon to describe people who change depending on the situation. However, only a few species of chameleon can change color to camouflage themselves. One of them is the Smith's dwarf chameleon, which can seem almost invisible when not moving. Although many species of chameleons can change color, most do so not to hide, but because of changes in their emotional state or body temperature. The Namaqua chameleon lives in the desert. It changes color to protect itself from the extreme temperatures. In the cool morning, it turns dark to absorb or take in heat more efficiently. In the hot sun, it turns a light gray to reflect or keep out the sun's heat. Some animals take advantage of color changes to protect themselves from predators over a longer period of time. Arctic foxes have 2 different coats, one for summer and one for winter. The winter coat is white to hide the fox in the snow. The fox loses this fur in spring and replaces it with a gray coat more suited to the gray rocks of the Arctic summer. Interestingly, the Arctic hare, a common prey of the fox, takes advantage of exactly the same color changes. Other animals have permanent camouflage. A polar bear's white fur makes it almost disappear against the snow and ice, despite its huge size. Strangely enough, the skin below the polar bear's fur is black. Although the patterns on the fur of tigers and leopards are very different, both serve the same purpose, to make it harder for their prey to see them. The patterns are different because they live in different places. Leopards hunt in bush country. Their spots allow them to disappear into the surrounding bushes. Tigers live in the jungle. Their stripes help them hide in the light and shade from the trees and long grass. These stripes are so effective that tiger stripe camouflage is used by many armies as a jungle uniform. Sometimes, however, an animal's skin color seems like a strange choice, almost a mistake. Take the zebra, which seems to draw attention to itself with its striking black and white pattern. Although scientists don't yet know the exact reason for the pattern, one theory is that when many zebras run together in a group, they make a pattern which is visually confusing. This makes it difficult for predators, such as lions, to identify one zebra to attack. This idea was copied in the First World War, when British boats were painted in many different patterns to confuse the enemy. However, the technique, known as dazzle camouflage, was never proven to work. Another theory suggests that zebra stripes are actually very effective in hiding the animal in long grass because lions are, in fact, colorblind. Chapter 3. Body Art. People have always used their own skin to make a permanent statement about who they are. In 1991, a couple walking in the mountains of northern Italy came across the frozen body of a dead man. When the ice was removed, it was realized that the body was, in fact, a 5,000-year-old mummy, one of the oldest of its kind ever found. The almost perfectly preserved mummy, named Ötzi, after the Ötztal Alps where he was found, was dressed in clothes made of grass and animal skin and carried well-made tools. One of the most striking things, however, was a series of more than 50 tattooed lines and crosses down the man's back, on his legs, and around his ankles and wrists. The marks may have been used as acupuncture. In any case, they obviously had some meaning for Ötzi, and they certainly show that, in the society in which he lived, the art of body decoration existed. Body decoration for both men and women has been important for many tribes and cultures around the world and goes back to the earliest human civilizations. As well as Ötzi, 2,000-year-old mummies with tattoos have been found in both Egypt and parts of Asia. In Europe, many tribes traditionally tattooed themselves. It is possible that the word Briton comes from an old British word meaning people of the designs, possibly from their war paint or tattoos. The Romans and Japanese both used tattoos to mark criminals. In the 10th century, an Arab diplomat described meeting Scandinavians tattooed from their fingernails to neck. Several stories tell how, after the Battle of Hastings in Britain, the dead body of the last Saxon king of England, Harold Godwinson, could only be identified from his tattoos. Early Christians, however, connected many of these traditions with old pagan ways, and so eventually, tattooing became a forgotten art in the Western world. Tattooing is a form of scarification, the practice of making cuts on the body in a particular pattern that remain as permanent scars after the cuts heal. Scarification is a way to show social or political status. In scarification, a material like mud is often added to the cut to create a bigger or colored scar. Such scars eventually led to the development of tattoos. The word tattoo was first introduced into English from Samoan. In 1769, Captain James Cook came into contact with tattooed Samoan islanders. The original Samoan word tatau means to strike, referring to hitting the skin with special bone tools to make tiny cuts. These cuts were then filled with an ink made from a burned fruit. The traditional tatau covers the legs and waist of Samoan men. It is extremely painful to be tattooed and is seen as a test of a man's courage. After seeing the Samoan tattoos, and later the tattooed moko face designs of the New Zealand Maoris, some of Captain Cook's crew let themselves be tattooed. This started a tradition among sailors. By the mid-1800s, tattooing had become highly popular and led to the setting up of tattoo shops by sailors in ports all over the world. However, it wasn't just sailors who were fascinated by this art form. A tattooed Polynesian islander called Omai, who traveled to Britain with Cook, caused great excitement among the nobility. In the 19th century, tattoos became more acceptable among the upper classes of British society. By the late 19th century, the fashion had caught on in the royal family, and both Edward VII of England and his son George V got tattoos, starting a royal tradition. Most people, however, found this unusual new art strange or disturbing. In most of Western society, tattoos became associated with alternative social groups. More recently, thanks to movies and pop culture, tattooing has enjoyed a huge growth in popularity. Tattoo art is one of the fastest-growing industries in the USA. 1 in 10 people now has a tattoo. Many people remain suspicious of tattoos, And while tattooed pop stars are acceptable, tattooed bank managers are not. A recent study showed that people with tattoos were seen as less responsible and trustworthy. But the same study found that tattoos had no effect at all on how attractive a person was considered to be. Mixed opinions about tattoos can also be found in other cultures. In Japan, tattooing was an important part of tribal culture, but after the introduction of Chinese culture and Buddhism in the 6th century, it began to lose popularity. Later, in the 17th to 19th centuries, the success of a romantic novel with tattooed heroes made the art hugely popular again. But at that time, tattooing was also used to mark criminals, and so it was often viewed negatively. Finally, in the 19th century, tattooing was banned, forcing many tattooed people to the edges of society and into criminal groups. Consequently, tattooing became a mark of identity for many criminal groups. At the beginning of the 21st century, however, the fashion for tattoos is stronger than ever all over the world. They are seen as art and a form of self-expression. Tattoos can still be controversial, though, and are still probably not the best thing to show off at work. Chapter 4. Makeup. Giving Mother Nature a Helping Hand. Originally from the Greek cosmos, or order, cosmetics was the word for the art of arranging hair, face, and dress. Today, this word usually refers to makeup. Traditionally, many tribes have used makeup in both religious ceremonies and wars. The signs and marks people painted on their faces and bodies were designed to give them magical powers or to terrify their enemies. Nowadays, some people still refer to makeup as war paint. Around 4,000 years ago, ancient Egyptian women painted their lips and eyes to make them seem bigger. Cleopatra is known to have colored her lips deep red with a dye made from insects. In the 10th century CE, an Arabian doctor called Abulcasis invented lipstick. The stick, a colored bar of pressed oils, wasn't seen much in Europe, as the Catholic Church quickly banned any sort of lip paint as immoral. In many ancient societies, a suntan was seen as a sign of low social status, the result of having to do hard work in the fields. Upper-class women in both ancient Greece and Rome tried very hard to make their skin as pale as possible, using a thick makeup made from chalk, animal fat, and often even from lead. Lead is an extremely poisonous metal. Throughout history, people have died from using it to lighten their skin. Despite the dangers, pale skin continued to be popular throughout the Middle Ages and beyond. One famous example was Elizabeth I of England, whose thick white mask of makeup helped give her an emotionless royal expression. Even Victorian women, who considered makeup like lipstick to be immoral, applied mixtures to lighten their faces. Some even went as far as eating chalk in the mistaken belief that it would make them pale. By the beginning of the 20th century, the fashion for pale skin had started to change. First, it was much less common for people in modern society to work in the fields. Also, doctors were beginning to realize how important the sun was for good health. In the 1920s, the famous fashion designer Coco Chanel made darker skin fashionable after she got a suntan while on a boating trip. By that time, advances in theater makeup were giving movie actresses a much more realistic color and seemingly perfect and healthy skin. Stage makeup had originally been thick and heavy to make actors' expressions stand out from a distance. It was made with animal fat and was so rough that when it was taken off, it often took skin with it. The invention of the film camera allowed audiences to see actors' faces close up, allowing makeup to become thinner and softer. Perhaps that's why the rise of the film star made makeup more popular. Millions of women wanted to look like the beautiful Hollywood stars they went to see every Saturday at the movies. Suddenly, cosmetics companies like Max Factor, which had previously only made cosmetics for actors, found there was a huge demand for makeup among the general public. Today, makeup is still closely connected with the glamour of Hollywood. Now, as much as ever, cosmetics companies rely on the attraction of Hollywood stars to sell their makeup. Chapter 5. Protecting your skin. Your skin protects you, but do you protect your skin? Today we are more aware of the need to protect our skin. Let's look at some dangers to our skin and how to avoid them to keep skin as healthy and attractive as possible. keep out of the sun. Although a healthy suntan is attractive, too much sun causes wrinkles and puts us at risk of skin cancer. Although sun is a natural source of vitamin D, scientists think that 15 to 20 minutes of sun on our skin every day is enough to get healthy amounts of this essential vitamin. Don't overdo it. Wear protective sunblock and clothing if you plan to be outside for a long time. Keep your skin clean. Clean skin is important. Don't touch pimples or wash them too much. Touching and washing too much will irritate the area even more. One of the best ways to clean your skin when you have pimples is by using a steam bath. Moisturize. Your skin is continually losing moisture. It gets dried out by the sun, wind, pollution, makeup, and even washing. The resulting dry skin gets easily damaged and ages quickly. It is a good idea to moisturize your skin using a good cream or oil. There are many natural oils that can be used to keep your skin healthy and looking fresh. Look after your insides. Your skin is a mirror of your general level of health. Stress, lack of sleep, and bad diet will all make your skin worse. Don't smoke. Apart from the risk of cancer, the chemical stresses that smoking puts on your body are one of the biggest causes of old-looking skin. Try to eat healthful foods, exercise, and relax. Chapter 6. What do you think? What is the price of beauty? Makeup is a multi-billion-dollar business. In the United States alone, the cosmetics industry creates roughly $10 billion of business a year. Yet the industry has many critics, including defenders of animal rights. Studies show that 95% of all animal testing is done to test cosmetics. But many people believe this is a cruel and unnecessary activity. In one study, 72% of people agreed that testing cosmetics on animals is wrong. Another criticism comes from defenders of women's rights. Some of these people question the traditional pressure on women to wear makeup. Others dislike the promotion of glamorous images in magazines and on television. They consider that it creates an unrealistic ideal that causes many young people to worry too much about their appearance. What do you think? Does makeup cause real problems, or is it a harmless part of our social lives? Read these questions and give your opinion. 1. Do you think animal testing for cosmetics is okay, or should it be illegal? Would you buy cosmetics if you knew they had been tested on animals? 2. Is our society too fashion conscious? How do TV and magazines affect our self-image? 3. Where and when do you think it is okay to wear makeup? Are there any situations where people shouldn't wear makeup? 4. What is the difference in makeup use in your society between women and men? Do you think these differences should exist? 5. Does the amount of cosmetics someone uses affect your opinion of him or her? What do you think of people who don't use cosmetics? 6. What cosmetic products do you use often? Is your use of cosmetics more about taking care of your skin or looking good in a social situation?